Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker's on the air, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Greg Pat Man, who was producing tonight's program. He just gave me the wave, which means he's not going to say hello to you on the air. It's a non-verbal hello.
But hello, listeners.
Hey, man, we got an exciting show coming up, at least I think. Greg doesn't think it's that exciting. I mean, I do. Do you think it's exciting?
I think we got some stuff to talk about.
We do. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock in the morning. First hour, we'll talk about these Atlanta Braves, man. They're hot, hot, hot. Are they not? Well, I mean, they're kind of hot. Took the back end of a split yesterday, which many were surprised with Max Scherzer being on the mound. And then tonight, how about those Braves, man, coming up victorious again against the Washington Nets? So we'll talk about that at 11:22. Then 11:42, some new legislation has been handed down by the NCAA. Hot, hot, hot news. It's some changes. I mean, they made some changes. And I guess if I was being completely objective about it, some of it does help the student athlete, right? Some of it will help the student athlete. So we'll talk about some of those changes that are about to be implemented. Then, guess what? 11:57, we'll close out the hour talking about Dontaze Bird, who is our new hero around here. And we'll explain to you why to close the hour out. Then, next hour, speaking of the Falcons, we're going to talk about the Falcons, what's going on. They've got a big game coming up this Friday. Why is it big? Because it's the first preseason game. So it's big to us. It's big to head coach Dan Quinn because he'll have an opportunity to evaluate the rookies on the squad and some of the free agent acquisition, so it's an exciting time for them, certainly. Could you imagine playing your first NFL football game? Yeah, I know it's not a regular season game, man, but, dude, as long as you dress up, you put that uniform on, and you're out there, and there's officials, and you got fans, et cetera, it is, in my opinion, a game. So we'll talk about that. Then at 12:22, we'll take a look at something in conference, right, in the NFC with our Atlanta Falcons and within the division. The Carolina Panthers, is this becoming a dumpster fire, friends up north? All right? Then 12:42, we'll hear from Kent Bazemore, who stopped by live in studio. Live in studio. You don't get it. I mean live in studio. We sit here in one of these seats in our studio talking to the Dukes and Bell show a little bit early. And then I can't wait to get to this piece to close out the 12 o'clock hour. Jerry Jones. I'm surprised more people have not talked about this particular issue as it relates to the whole national anthem thing, but got some video, well, some audio, too. I'll let you hear a commentary on it about Jerry Jones, and I'm telling you what he did not do during the playing of the national anthem. You'll find it pretty funny. And then the 1 o'clock hour, man, we'll just talk about some other stuff. Dan Reeves, we'll hear from him, and then we'll talk about some more stories going on in the collegiate football world. But as you all know, those of you that listen to the program first 15 minutes, man, I just, you know, talk about whatever stuff that's going on in my mind. Oh, man, it's been so very busy here of late. I got to share a couple of stories with you right off the rip. Pat, man, I don't even think I told you this. But last week, all right, end of last week, had an opportunity to doing some traveling and ran into Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens was gracious enough to share a photo, in which I popped online on the Twitter at DNice Radio. And by the way, we are on social media at 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com on the internet. We're on Instagram at 929 The Game. You get the picture, et cetera, et cetera. I do have my own Twitter account. It's called at DNice Radio. But anyway, Terrell Owens was kind enough, nice enough to stop for a portrait, and he exchanged conversations with my daughter. Those pictures are posted, and he actually follows Christina on Twitter now. So she's all excited about that. Okay, Terrell Owens follows her on Twitter now. So congratulations going out to Tio. Obviously, the ceremony took place on Saturday. I did have an opportunity to ask him a few questions. I don't know why. I must be kind of weird. I guess since I did have my video camera with me, and I mean, I do have video of the episode of some of the exchange, but am I weird for like not posting it? Is that kind of weird? but I won't. But I thought it was really, really cool that he actually took the time out, man. I think a lot of people kind of misunderstand one Terrell Owens. Bottom line is this, man. He's got the numbers to be in the Hall. It was long overdue. He had to wait 3 years. Should not have had to wait at all, right? Definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. All right, so what else, man? I had an opportunity also to head out to California. And, man, it was sweet weather out there last Tuesday. And, man, visiting some schools out there, UCal San Diego, Coach Heidi Vandiver, and their program out there. What a beautiful, beautiful facility. What a beautiful school. You can see the ocean there by Torrey Pines. Man, brought back some vivid memories of the early 2000s when Tiger Woods was out there winning on Torrey Pines left and right. So that was really cool. So, yeah, it's been a real cool, relaxing, fun, if you will, sort of summer. Just trying to wind things down as the kids return to school. At least one of my children returned to school. My son returned to school. And I am proud to say, you are not going to believe this, but it is actually true. All right? For the first, I guess this is the 5 days last week, first 3 days this week, 8 consecutive days of no issues. No issues whatsoever. None. My son, Jacob, has been an exemplary student. No outbursts, no situations. He's just being the model of consistency. And I'm, like, so proud. My wife and I are like, wow, this is, like, really, really incredible. So pray for us. Your prayers actually worked. I asked people to pray for us the last time we were on the air because, you know, school was coming up. Hey, I need you to pray for our family, for my son. And, hey, prayer changes things. All right. Now, as for the other one, it's time to get her out of the house. I think she's going a little stir crazy. She doesn't start school for another week, I guess, August 15th. So she's looking to get out of the house. Talking about the 16-year-old. But I will say this. Definitely proud of this young lady. Definitely doing her thing. Excited about the educational pieces that she's taking care of during the summer. Speaking of visits, fresh off of another visit to New York City and Columbia. Had a chance to do an academic exposure camp there. She did well. And so it's all positive momentum right now. And with these new NCAA rule changes that came out today, I can't wait to see how these are going to change things. But you know what? You know what's kind of funny to me at 10 minutes after the hour 11 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is how when they announce some of these changes, I'm talking about the NCAA, and I'll just give you a quick sneak peek. For example, all right, here's one. The NCAA has now ruled that collegiate prospects who want to play in the NBA, as well as high school prospects who think they can play in the NBA, are now legally able to have agents. So in other words, pick out any high school star that's around here in the area, okay? Whoever you want to pick out. He or she, well, he, I'll start with the he part right now, he can actually have a representative, an agent represent his interests as it relates to wanting to enter the NBA draft and playing in the NBA. And I'll give you one more quick teaser. No. I'll just end it right there, and then I'll get more into the story when we talk about it at 11:42. But you want to stick around because these changes are going to affect, it's going to affect a lot of people, a lot of student athletes. And although the NCAA still has not gotten to the nitty-gritty of it all as it relates to how these players should be fairly compensated, that was never ever really addressed, in my opinion, during this new legislation that has been introduced by the NCAA. But it's all so, so simple of how to actually, like, address it, how a lot of these financial woes can, not a lot, but at least in various cases where kids can directly gain monetary benefits from what they produce And it's all based on capitalism. It's all based on the American way. And it's all based on how it wouldn't infringe, at least in my opinion, on the NCAA, where they're still allowed to make that greedy money, which they already make. And I'm going to propose that a little later in the show. Very, very simple, too. Sometimes in life, it's like the simplest ideas are the ones that can be the most effective. And I can't wait to share it with you. And that will happen before the hour's out, before the 11 o'clock hour is out. Well, I'll tell you what I'm excited about as we transition to the next segment, 11:22. How about the Atlanta Braves? Here's a team that continually amazes me. From the standpoint that I did not have the expectations that this team would do very much this season. I had them pinned in at 75 wins for the year. And although they have not reached that plateau yet, you can see that they're steadfastly heading towards that mark. And tonight's victory, well, really last night's victory, is the back end of the doubleheader in which they were victorious over the Washington Nats. And then you couple that with tonight's victory on the road against Washington. It's just an incredible, incredible thing to see. And it makes you completely stoked and optimistic as far as what lies ahead for this Atlanta Braves team. And, man, they were very, very impressive on Wednesday night. I think we definitely now have a new certified ace, right? It's no longer Julio Teheran. I guess it's up for debate. Pat, by a show of hands, one for Foltynewicz or two for Newcomb. Who do you think the ace of this Atlanta Braves staff is right now? I'm going to go with Folty, me personally. All right? All right, right now. I'm going to go with Foltynewicz right now. You know? You're going to go with Sean Newcomb? You like Newcomb? You're gonna go with Folty also. Okay, we got two votes for Folty. How about you, ladies and gentlemen? Who do you feel as though the Atlanta Braves ace is right now? If you had one game to win, which pitcher, Atlanta Braves starter, would you trot out onto the diamond? Let me give you some numbers, 404-741-0929. That's the number to get in contact with the program. You are listening to the Sports Map with Dwayne Walker on the flagship station of our Atlanta Falcons, our Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United FC Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And look, I hope everybody's ready because, you know, I talk about the professional football season being around the corner. High school football season is around the corner, too. But right now, that's more reason why, with the Braves doing what they're doing, they're booming right now. We need to hang on in there with them Braves, man. When we come back, we'll do a recap of their victory on Wednesday over the Washington Nats. You're listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
High fly ball hammered center. Harper on his way back. He's going to turn. That ball is out of the batter's eye. Acuna with a mammoth home run.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you very much. Fox Sports South. Jim Carrey. You listen to Sports Travel with Dwayne Walker, Greg Patman, producing tonight's program. Let's get you up to speed. I know. Braves, they split a doubleheader yesterday with the Washington Nats. But on today, Wednesday, they got her done 8-3 over the Washington Nationals. And with that victory, our Atlanta Braves, they surge within a half game, right? A half game of the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League East. Meanwhile, the Washington Nats, they go a tumbling. They're six games behind the pace. And don't feel sorry for the Washington Nationals. Not at all. As a matter of fact, do you realize in a team, okay, if we're being honest, the Nats traditionally, they've kind of owned us, right, in seasons past. But the Atlanta Braves this year, 15 games thus far, the Braves have won nine of them. Nine of 15. That ain't too shabby against the Washington Nats. All right, 404-741-0929 if you want to talk about the Braves. I asked a question before the break. I said to you, who, if you had to pitch, like, for one game, who is the Atlanta Braves ace right now? Would you go with Sean Newcomb? Would you go with Mike Foltynewicz? Would you want to dig up Julio Teheran and just, you know, give him new life and say, you know what, he's our guy, despite his pitching woes this season? If you had one game, all right, to try to pitcher out there, which pitcher would it be? We're going to take a phone call here in just a second, but let me just give you a quick recap of the game. The Braves, they went down 1-0 as Folty allowed a run in the very first inning. However, Tyler Flowers answered the call in the, what was it, top of the fourth? I think it was the top of the fourth inning in which he came back and delivered a shot for Atlanta Braves.
Mounted by Tyler Flowers. Break out the tape measure almost to the back row of the bleachers. A mammoth home run for Tyler Flowers, and the Braves have a 5-1 lead.
So how about that? Braves getting it done, going long ball, but prior to that, it was Charlie Culberson who smacked a 3-1 shot that gave the Braves a 3-1 lead.
Swing and a high fly ball lifted deep left. Soho going back. That ball's at the track. That ball's at the wall. That ball is gone! Charlie Culberson on an 0-2 pitch has hit a 3-run home run.
Oh, yes, sirree, Billy Bob. You can hear the excitement. Can you not hear the excitement in Chip Carey's voice as he discusses that long ball? All right, so we fast forward to inning number four. That was in inning number two, that Culberson home run that made the score 3-1, played for you the Tyler Flowers shot that made it 5-1. And then Ronald Acuna, how about this youngster? All he does is produce.
High fly ball hammered center. Harper on his way back. He's going to turn. That ball is onto the batter's eye. Acuna with a mammoth home run.
Yeah, so that made the score 7-1. And then Freddie Freeman would round out the scoring for our Braves thanks to an RBI single in the top half of the seventh inning.
And he grounds one past Adams into right field, a base hit. Here comes Harper. Gloves, grabs, fires toward the plate. Throw is late. And Freeman takes second on the throw.
No. Wow. And there's an example right there. Oh, my goodness. Hey, thanks a lot there. Chip Carey with that call on Fox Sports South. All right, 404-741-0929. I'd love to find out from you, if you had to trot a picture out there right now, who would be your ace? It was one game to take it all. Let's go out to Edward. Edward, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
Not bad, Edward. All right, man. It's game seven. Game seven, I don't know. It's a game we got to have. It's for the World Series. Which Braves pitcher do you trot out to the mound?
Well, I'm going to get the one that you're overlooking there. I'm going to say Anibal Sanchez.
Wow, really?
He got the experience. He's been pitching great for the Braves,
yep.
Not giving up a lot of runs, always giving them an opportunity to win the game.
He has.
And he just knows how to pitch.
Right now, man, Anibal Sanchez, he's sporting like a – what is his ERA? Is like 2.8 or something like that. He's 6-3 on the year. I know that. And actually, he'll be pitching for the Braves on tomorrow, on Thursday afternoon, as they close out this series against the Washington Nationals. So we got a vote for Anibal Sanchez. Okay, nice. I like it. Hey, anything else you want to add about our Braves? You got to admit, man, this is super duper exciting with what's going on with this club right now.
It really is. I mean, no one expected this from the Braves. Nobody. I was pushing for them to get 80 wins this year. I think they're going to clip that.
I hope they do, man. I only had them pinned in at 75. Of course, they're still a ways away, but a lot of baseball left to be played.
A lot.
Edward, thank you so much, man. I appreciate your call tonight.
And just before I go, I just want to say this to you.
Sure.
Who that?
get off my line, man. All right. Let's go to Sandy Springs, Georgia, and where we find Bruce. Hi, Bruce. How are you this evening?
Hey, man. I'm doing pretty well, man.
Bruce, so if we had one game to pitch, man, one to decide it all, which pitcher would you trot out to the mound for this Atlanta Braves club?
Folty. Like, I got to go with Folty, man. I mean, like, he's the purest pitcher that we've seen in a long time. I mean, if I had my way, it'd be, you know, Smoltz or it'd be Glavin. But, I mean, Folty, he's solid, and I can trust him.
Yeah, he has – when he's on the mound, man, he looks so calm, cool, collected, and like within himself. You know what I'm saying? You don't really see him, like, rattle at all.
Yeah, and Fulton Evans, I mean, I'm telling you, man, I mean, he might be getting old and getting up there, but, like, he really has it going on, and I don't trust, you know, I don't trust the newer brand. I mean, I would love to go into the farm and figure out what we have coming up. Like, I'd love to see them, but right now, I trust Folty.
Yeah.
So if we go there and we get that, you know, I'm taking them.
Yeah, it's about the here and now, man. I think a lot of these veterans on this Atlanta Braves team, man, are really, really stepping up to the plate. We know the leadership that Freddie Freeman has provided. Nick Markakis has been just completely solid this year. It's a good look right now, man, and I love what Brian Snitker has going on. And let's just hope the positive vibes continue as the Braves have won 8 out of 10 games. Hey, all right, Bruce, Bruce, you had something about the Falcons, man? You wanted to say something? You wanted to slip something in about the Falcons,
yeah,
man, 11:30?
On top of all I want to say is, man, look, my man Julio, he didn't even hold out. Like, he got what he wanted, but at the same time, he's not getting diamond-encrusted crosses on his teeth, his canine teeth, like my man Odell Beckham up there. I don't even like saying my man like that. That's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Like, LeBron James out there, like, creating schools and stuff, and you're getting crosses on your teeth that nobody's ever going to see? Come on, man. Stop it.
Well, listen, man. You got to realize, man. Odell Beckham, man, is a young man. You know, he's feeling himself. He's obviously a standout in this league. And he's just living his life right now. I mean, I can't get too upset at cats that are being young and dumb, that are experiencing some success, ain't never had nothing before, don't have anybody really in their life to guide them, to tell them, hey, look, man, you need to kind of chill. I guess it kind of comes with experience. It's like the older you get, the more wiser you get. And for as much slack, if you want to call it, that Julio Jones took, how much of it was really Julio? Because if you go by what Julio has said the whole time that everything was cool and there was nothing to worry about. And maybe we as the media, maybe we kind of stroked and fanned the fire, so to speak, as far as what was going on Julio. And people are calling out a holdout. Well, he didn't hold out. He was there first day of camp, right? He showed up that Friday. He was on the field. And speaking of Julio Jones, at the top of the hour, 12 o'clock hour, we'll hear from not only Julio Jones in his own words, but we'll hear from head coach Dan Quinn. We'll hear from Ricardo Allen, who, by the way, he got an extension. Everyone should be ecstatic about that. A three-year, I think the number was $19 million. 3 years, $19 million for Ricardo Allen. And how about that? I mean, it's good to see these guys get paid. And the Falcons still heading on that trek, man. What I want more than anything, all right, and it all begins on Friday, believe it or not, right? I have the statistic that I like to tote out every single year. The same reigned true last year. Pat, man, could you help me out with this stat, please? Our Falcons this past preseason, like last year, we didn't win it. Did we win it? Did we win any preseason games? Forgive me. I'm just going off the top. And the reason why I say I have this little theory, not theory, but it's based on, you know, history, that no team in the modern era has ever won a Super Bowl when going winless in the preseason. So that's my first barometer, measure of whether or not a team's going to win the Super Bowl. No preseason victories equals no Super Bowl victories. So as far as my own personal checklist as it relates to our Atlanta Falcons, they've got to win a preseason game. And this game against the Jets coming up, on, albeit on the road, that will be the first opportunity to do that. And I'm hoping that we can get some synergy going where we are all locked in and truly believe with all our hearts that all our Falcons have to do, all right, in a perfect world, all right, with maybe a hiccup or two, is that our Falcons win, let's see, our 8 home games during the regular season, 2 playoff games, and the Super Bowl. So that would be 11 games we're shooting for at home. The 8 during the regular season, the 2 during the postseason, because we will have the best record in the NFC, which will gain us home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Let me say that again. The goal of this Atlanta Falcons franchise, undoubtedly, unquestionably, is to win every single game. Right? That's the goal. And fall no short than being the NFC conference's best team so that we maintain home field advantage throughout the season, basically. And I just hope with all my fervor that these Falcons recognize that, put it out in the atmosphere, and this just go out and make it happen. Because I truly believe this team can do just that. All right, I talked about some of these sweeping rule changes that have come up that the NCAA has put out there. I'll discuss them with you next. And to be perfectly objective, I feel some of them will help the student-athlete. So we'll discuss that next. You are listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the program, 11:43 and ticking. My name is Dwayne Walker, and you are listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker. Greg Patman, a.k.a. Greg Patton, is producing tonight's program. Oh, yeah. Man, a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports, but more specifically, I just want to talk about some of these NCAA new college basketball policies that have been introduced, and want to find out how you feel about it. If you'd like to get in contact with the program, you're more than welcome to do that, 404-741-0929. Now, I understand everyone's not affected by this, but you might know someone who is, or if you have children yourself, and they might be getting up in age, these rules will eventually, I guess, affect you. So check this out. Today, all right, what's today's date? August 8th. Basically, the NCAA, they have put in new rules, adopted just a bunch of policy and rule changes that they're hoping will clean up the college basketball game, all right? And there's been a lot of stories that have been out there about guys getting paid, families getting paid to go to certain schools, et cetera, et cetera. So the NCAA, in trying to, I guess, address some of these ills in the sport, they've proposed some changes. The Division I Board of Directors and the NCAA Board of Governors, they've agreed to allow elite high school basketball recruits and college players to basically be represented by agents, as long as they are certified by the NCAA. And what this will do, it will allow those kids, underclassmen, to enter the NBA draft and also be able to return to school if they were undrafted. And I will say this, I feel as though that's phenomenal. Why? Because I don't see why, as it has been in years past, why a student-athlete would be allowed to enter an NBA draft, and if they decided to declare themselves eligible for the draft and they retained an agent and attended the workout, that at that point their eligibility would be done. They would no longer be eligible to return to school to play basketball. and that's just a travesty. So that, for one, I'm glad to see that they changed that rule. Also, on the back end of this, on these rules and changes, was a piece of not legislation, but a rule change that will allow, or have, excuse me, more rigorous and strenuous certification requirements for summer amateur basketball events. Now, those of you who are on tour who play basketball, and your kids play basketball, or you know somebody's kids that play basketball, travel basketball, you know that the season basically starts in February as far as officially beginning. You know, you gather up, you have your tryouts or whatever, and then you have some games in March, and then April there's a recruiting period, an evaluation period where coaches can come out and see you. And then there's May, and then there's June. You have the high school period, which is supposed to be the high school period. And then you have July, another one of the, which was has traditionally been the hot evaluation period in July, where you get like three different weekends where, you know, coaches can come out and watch you, evaluate you, and try to, you know, basically recruit you for their respective programs if you're of age. So, but now with these sweeping changes, they're going to actually shrink the number of weeks as far as like in July, where you only get over a course of 2 weekends as opposed to 3 in the past, where coaches can come out and evaluate. And one of those weeks in July is going to be like a camp that's going to be organized in conjunction with the NCAA, the NBA, and Team USA basketball. But how funny is this? If you were to look at the headlines after the NCAA announced these rule changes that they plan on making, both the NBA and USA Basketball have come out and said that they have been blindsided, and I quote, blindsided by the NCAA's rule changes. And so, to me, it seems like there's people are not on the same page with this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of a mess. So who really has control of your amateur status as a student athlete? It's all, in my opinion, an attempt by the NCAA and the powers that be to protect their revenue sources. And I get it. You want to clean up the game. You want to take it out of the hands of the AAU programs, because also as part of this of these changes that have been proposed that are going to be enacted, is that they're going to place more emphasis on high school sanctioned events. Okay. So where you get the coaches to actually come out to these high school events, and most of these events are surrounded by like Thanksgiving tournaments and Christmas tournaments. I know one of the major tournaments where you see a lot of Division I coaches come through Atlanta is the Hoopsgiving tournament that takes place over at Holy Innocence. It's big. You get a lot of D1 coaches that are there. I was privileged enough to have been able to call a ball game over there this past season. St. Pius was taking on, I believe they're playing Green Forest. You check that on YouTube. Man, YouTube is, man, they've got all the stuff you want on YouTube. So I had an opportunity to call some basketball over there for that event, and it's just it's a fantastic event. You get Division I coaches on the boys' side as well as the girls' side, because the girls go at it also. And then there's various Christmas tournaments that you have around town. So these are the types of events that the NCAA wants more of their coaches to patronize, if you will. All right? The events that are high school sanctioned, and steering it more away from AAU and travel club basketball. And by their own words, they want to make it more of a rigorous certification requirement. But here's the thing, all right? And these changes were announced by President Mark Emmert, NCAA president. And he says, and I quote, "We remain committed to promoting fairness in college sports and creating an environment that will champion the success of student athletes." But nowhere do I see anything about these student athletes being compensated monetarily for their contributions to their respective universities as far as the amount of income that they draw, whether it be television television ratings, television revenues, on-site game receipts, et cetera, et cetera. So still no mention of that. There is, however, a wrinkle that they did put in that says that a collegiate player who attends a university on scholarship for at least 2 years, and let's just say for whatever reason they went pro or they left the program or what have you, they would be able to return to that respective school within 10 years and still have their education paid for, their tuition, books, et cetera, paid for by that university. So I feel as though that's a step in the right direction, but still, when it boils down to it, not really sharing the big bucks where that's at, all right? And a real simple solution to it, a real simple solution to it is this, and follow me if you're with me on this, all right? Say you're a student athlete and you go to, I don't know, pick any school, right? And you're at a top tier, you're at a Power Five. You don't even have to be at a Power Five. The name of the school doesn't matter. The NCAA should allow, and this sounds crazy even saying it, but if I'm a Division I athlete, Division II athlete, a collegiate athlete, whatever, or even a high school athlete, I should be able to sign my autograph or have organized autograph sessions and be able to reap the benefit from said autograph sessions. I should be able to sell merchandise with my image on it, all right, if I'm that athlete. And that's one way whereby student athletes would be able to obtain monies from their efforts, from their accolades, from what they're noted for. And it's simple. If you have an autograph signing session and no one comes to your booth to sign your autograph, well, guess what? That means you're not, that means that you're not, that's not what the public wants. But if you set up an autograph session, and then crap, man, I know if you set one up, people would just come, you know, out the blue, man. They would just, you know what I'm saying? They would just come from all over. But listen, if you don't think that fans, supporters of the program would not come and get those autographs, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. Think about it, man. $5 a whop, do a two-hour signing session. Say you went to Carolina or Duke or something like that. Dude, you could easily get 100 autographs in 2 hours. And $5 a whop, that's $500 for a session. Hey, man, I could take somebody out with $500. Oh, that music's playing in my ear. That means I got to go to break. We come back, man. The hypocrisy of the National Football League, Jerry Jones. Man, I got somebody who's going to go straight at him, Dale Hansen, next. I can't wait for you to hear his commentary talking about Jerry Jones and what it happened was. You listen to Sports Job with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 Welcome back to the program, man. Listen, you know, there's been a lot of controversy and words at the National Football League. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones making a big stink about his players and how they're going to stand. They're required. If they don't stand, they're not going to be a Dallas Cowboy as far as the national anthem. Well, how about this? In a practice here recently down in Dallas where the Dallas Cowboys at a practice, they're playing the national anthem before a Dallas Cowboys event. So I want you to check out this exchange. This is Dale Hansen, a local broadcaster, sports broadcaster in Dallas, talking about this situation. Go ahead.
Jones and his son, Steven, were saying the other day that any player who takes a knee and doesn't toe the line during the national anthem won't be playing for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. It's incredible to me. that a player can beat up a woman and play for the Dallas Cowboys. A player can use illegal drugs time and time again and still play. But you take a knee to protest the racial injustice in America, and now you've crossed a line that he will not allow. Jones loves and respects the national anthem so much that when it was being played before the start of practice Saturday, he left his cap on. And when he was told about the mistake he was making, he still left his cap on. He who makes the rules apparently doesn't have to follow them.
Yeah. Perfect example, dude. You talk about hypocrisy in sports. His son was like, hey, Dad, you need to remove your hat. The anthem's being played. He looked at his son, Steven, like, man, get the hell out of here. I'm Jerry Jones. I do what I want to do. And kept his hat on. A joke. All right, ladies and gentlemen, straight up midnight. When we come back other side of the break, we're going to talk about our Falcons' big preseason game coming up on Friday against the New York Jets. You are listening to Sports.